Most couples desire to have children, but still ask the question, what will become of us when the two of us become three?
Today, on Real Family Talk, we will speak with three couples who are beginning their parenting adventure. Join us. Children are a wonderful gift from God. When we become parents, we become stewards of God's property. Parenting is a sacred trust. It should be approached with a sense of reverential awe and fear. What an amazing opportunity parents have to raise healthy and self-reliant children and to prepare them for eternity.
However, as beautiful and joyful bringing a child into this world may be, it is a challenging transition for most couples. Few couples consider the risk to the marriage during this time of major change, but couples can learn ways to protect their relationship and thrive as they parent together.
Joining us today are three new sets of parents, couples. Well, one has a baby on the way. We have Lerone and Murray Carson, who have a newborn of 3 months. Brandy and Justin Martin, who are due to deliver in just a few weeks, and Itzel and Leighton Smith, who have a two-year-old. Welcome to all of you.
You know what? It's really
exciting. Thank you for
having us. It's really exciting to see all of you. Actually, all of these couples have something in common, and that is they all did premarital counseling with us. Thanks for agreeing to be part of our lab again.
Indeed.
Okay, guys. So this is really
a dynamic
conversation we want to have with you. We want to see how much you learned from us. No, just be relaxed. So here's what I want to know. Even though you thought about having children, how did you prepare for parenting? And I'm going to ask Itzel and Leighton first, because you have the two-year-old. Even though you're still new parents, you have the oldest child here. How did you prepare for parenting?
So we had talked about it at the beginning of our marriage, that we wanted to be parents, but we had plans. We wanted to travel and, you know, the normal newlyweds. And a year into our marriage, we did not prepare and we got pregnant. It wasn't within our timeline, but it was God's plan. And we are so happy to have our Gabriella, which is now 2 years old, like you mentioned. Yeah. So once we find out we were pregnant, that's when the speed preparation started. And we started reading books and articles about it and finding to other parents, asking questions to, you know, kind of educate ourselves to what was to come. But the real education started when she arrived.
Okay.
I would like to hear Leighton's perspective.
Sure. You know, I think there's never a time that you can be prepared to have a child, even if you put together plans and you make preparations. There's no preparation to really expect a child. I remember my wife told me that that she's pregnant. I was actually in shock. I wasn't prepared myself, and immediately my mind went into a lot of different things, as I believe a lot of men do when they're starting to know that they're going to be a father. And as again, there's no real preparation that can be made from an emotional perspective. But in terms of finances, we made sure we prepared ourselves. We put away savings. We started to think about a bigger place. We bought a new car. And so when I went to my church, I told them this is Gabby's car. It's not really our car. So we bought a bigger car for her. And so things like that was really the things that we prepared for.
Awesome. Now, Murray and Lerone, how long did you guys wait before you had a child? And were you spending all this time preparing to bring this child into the world? Your child is 3 months old.
Sure. Warwick is 3 months old, and we'd been married for a little over 8 years before we got pregnant. And so I guess you could say we were 8 years planning to have a child. We were intentional about it. We both felt that we weren't ready at the time. We were enjoying traveling, seeing the world, as one of the other couples mentioned. And we talked about it during 2019 and felt as if it was the right time for us to start trying then.
And you didn't expect a pandemic.
Did not expect a pandemic. Absolutely not. But here we are, I guess 12 months later with a beautiful, beautiful baby boy. And we're very excited to have him in our lives now. In terms of preparation, so we read some spiritual books and some books we felt were reputable in terms of secular books as well. We, similar to Leighton and Itzel, we got a bigger place and got a new car just to make sure that we were right-sized for having the baby in our lives. We did have a few conversations just in terms of what it would look like with the baby, some of the principles that we wanted to raise the baby by. We had conversations. Well, I had a conversation with my boss in regard to, you know, what would work look like with a baby. And fortunately in the ministry, it's a bit flexible. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to make the two, you know, mothering and ministering work at the same time. So we'll see how that goes.
That's fantastic. We'll hear from Murray later, but I want to get to Brandy and Justin before we end this segment. Now, Brandy and Justin, you guys, did you get a bigger house and buy a bigger car and all of that? But tell me a little bit about this water birth that you're planning and preparing for.
Okay, so to answer the question, yes, I actually did get a bigger car. I was in a two-door. And we were like, there's no way we're going to be taking the car seat in and out of that. So I said, okay, well, let's just get a four-door. So apparently everyone here had the same idea.
Have you ever heard
of this?
I had no idea. That couple's got
apparently. I'm so happy we have them because we've got to step up our understanding of what you need to prepare for a kid. I think we kept our two-door.
No, we have four-door.
Well, we did? Okay.
We had a four-door.
Yeah, good. All right, go ahead. Tell us, Brandy and Justin.
So a few things we've been preparing. Like I said, I worked at a birth center. So coming from the hospital for 7 years, coming to a birth center just opened my eyes to this natural birth. And all the births we did there was you either did it on the bed or you did it in the water. And so I was really fascinated with it. And Justin actually likes the idea. So we did a birth class on the Zoom because of COVID and everything, but we also have our birth pool and we set that up like last week just to kind of prepare and prep. So we have that like set up and we're just trying to, you know, go the natural route and see how that goes. So we'll be having a birth here at home.
Excellent. So. Excellent.
Beautiful.
Well, after a short break, we'll come back and talk some more with these couples. Stay with us.
Both marriage and parenthood come with a high level of risk. Although most people intend to keep their marriage vows, 4 out of 10 young couples marrying today for the first time will probably get divorced. And many who stay together will report being unhappy.
You know, despite the risks associated with marriage, an estimated 90% of couples who marry will become parents. Research indicates that at least half of new parent couples become less satisfied as partners when they become parents. About one-third experience significant distress.
However, the same decline in marital satisfaction happens to couples with no children. Therefore, this unhappiness may be due to the neglect of the relationship. So while having a child is a major change to the couple dynamic, it's how we handle this transition that will either enhance or distress the marriage.
So guys, what are you doing or what plans do you have to continue to nurture your marriage during your life of parenting?
We should start with Murray.
Yeah.
Because we didn't give Murray a chance to speak last time. Yeah. So Murray, we know this is hard now because now you have a little interrupter in your lives, which you both love. But how are you finding, how are you guys as a couple finding ways to nurture your marriage during this time of transition?
So I'll just real quickly say, since before we talked about everyone getting a car and everything, that we didn't choose to get the car. Our car broke down, so we needed a new car.
Okay.
We still got the car. We just needed it for that reason. In terms of nurturing marriage, I don't have any specific plans. I mean, Lauren's birthday is coming up pretty soon. And we'll use whatever help we can get to try to get some time to ourselves. We definitely still try to do like a date night or something like that when we can. But we're also learning our newborn. So we're trying to figure out his schedule and what he's going to do. And he's making new discoveries. So my hope would be that at this point, with the baby still developing, we can kind of keep on learning as he learns. And once he gets to a place where he's not making giant leaps every day, then we can, you know, have a little bit more stable planning situation. And we can actually say, okay, on this day, we're going to do whatever, like we had been doing. So we may have to come back on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what is interesting about what you're saying, Murray, is that, you know, there's no cookie cutter way of doing this. Sometimes life just happens and it's not the same for every couple. But what's important is that you don't wait until your kid becomes a year old before you go back to doing something together, because the marriage relationship needs to be nurtured along the way. You need to find ways of making emotional deposits into your spouse's emotional bank account and not escalating or putting down each other when you make mistakes. So, you know, as you're going along, the reality is once you have a third person, we go from a dyad, we say, to a triad. It's going to take some intentionality to keep the marriage going and to put each other still as a priority, even though that at this point, when a child needs all the help that he or she needs, that parents need to focus in on that child who's helpless at the moment.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. And we're going to get back to you guys, but, you know, we're going to do a little extended premarital or postmarital now. Yeah. One of the things that was very helpful to us early on was my OBGYN actually asked some very intimate question at my third month checkup. And just said, you know, how are you guys doing as a couple? Have you gotten your relationship back on track? And I was a little frustrated by her questions because I was thinking, oh, my goodness, like I have a baby and this baby is taking all of my time. But it was a really good question and it really helped us to sort of hone back in on our relationship, because while we were pretty much getting along with, you know, taking care of the baby and all of that,
and the excitement of having a newborn,
we were not necessarily paying attention to our relationship. So it's really important for couples to not allow time to pass, because the newness of the transition is a little overwhelming. Now, Brandy and Justin, you guys wrote some plans that you sent to us, and you did have some things in place that you put on paper. So share with us some of the plans that you have for nurturing your relationship.
Yeah, so we've been looking into a lot of just literature that's been pretty helpful to us. We've started reading Sacred Parenting, and before we were starting Sacred Marriage. And so with that, we make sure we spend time every Friday night having our one-on-one together. And then also we do the Sacred Parenting as well to make sure that we're tying in what we expect, what we want to see in our family. But also, we also talk about how we want to make sure we're traveling and make sure that we're bringing the baby with us. So the stroller is ready for the airplane and, you know, when we get back to that and whatnot. So just making sure that we're taking time to like have our moments together is important, because we know how life-changing this is now. And we don't take that for granted. It's just another journey for us. So
right. And right. Of course, you heard what Murray said. It's like it really, even if you plan and you read, you know, things change, and just trying to find that time. But, you know, it's good to have a plan. It's good to think about it and to try to get back to that plan. Leighton and Itzel, what about you guys? You guys are 2 years into this. How are you nurturing your relationship?
Well, before the baby, we had a date night every Thursday. And after the baby came, after Gabby came, we then had to be a lot more intentional about what we do. For instance, even though we weren't able to go out every Thursday night like we used to or do a date, what I started doing was bringing my wife flowers, you know, something as simple as that.
Excellent.
Bringing her flowers every weekend to
cooking.
Yeah, I love to cook. So I, excellent. You know, she goes off to, you know, she's a nurse. And so for 3 days out of the week, you know, I'm with Gabby, and I make sure that when she's home, when she comes back home, that, you know, there's a meal. Sometimes I go all out, you know, and turn that into a little date night with Gabby crying and
a Michelin star restaurant at home with the toddler in the back running.
Yeah.
Tell them what you,
you know, so small things like that, you know?
Yeah. It's just a reality of life. You know, you have to go with the punches, roll with the punches. It's dynamic. So do what you can and do it the best way you can. You know, we're talking about becoming parents while strengthening your marriage. We'll come right back. Right after this break. Research has shown that the amount of fun couples have together is strongly related to their overall marital happiness. Good relationships stay great when you're preserving both the quality and quantity of enjoyable times as a couple.
We know that fatigue is a big factor for parents and definitely a barrier to fun. However, the only way new parents will continue to nurture the fun and friendship in their relationship is to set aside time to make it happen. We make time for that which is most important to us. It is possible to take care of a baby and still have fun as a couple. So we're going to have a little fun with our couples right now. Let's take a quiz. All right, guys, are you ready? Okay, this is for the wives. What is your husband's favorite color? All right, you ready with your answers?
Can we show it?
Okay, show your answers.
Okay.
All right, I see Brandy says blue. Justin, is that correct? Okay, very good. We're tracking. Itzel says black. Leighton, is that correct?
Yes.
Not really a color.
So he really doesn't have a favorite color. The answer is he doesn't have a favorite color, but
in electronics.
He likes all of them.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. That's good. You get a point for that. And Lerone says red. Murray, how is she doing?
That's the best answer that anyone could get, so
and
I'd say yes.
And all right, great. And
if I had a favorite color, it'd be red.
I know. That's a tough one, but we didn't want to be biased and say what's your husband's favorite food. But we are going to be biased right now and say what is your wife's favorite food?
All right, you can show it as soon as you have it. Raise it a little higher. All right, Justin is saying Caribbean. Is that right, Brandy? All right,
yes.
Caribbean. Let's see what Leighton
has. We'll have to get some plantains for her.
Leighton saying Mexican. Is that right, Itzel?
Of course.
That's easy, Leighton. That's very 100%.
Easy.
And we're trying to see what you have.
But the question is,
Murray,
Itzel.
Wait.
Yeah. What's that you have, Marie? I can't see it.
Oh, pizza.
Oh, pizza.
Oh, pizza.
Okay, pizza. Is that right, Lerone?
That's my least favorite food.
Okay. So Murray knows how to have fun.
Yeah.
Can I explain? Before you asked the question, Lerone was saying, I hope it's not one of those where I have like 100 different answers. And I was like, a favorite one? I don't know what the favorite one would be. I could come up with a list, but not one. Do you have a favorite food?
Too many to count.
I could tell you one thing, and we've learned this.
That's not pizza.
We've learned this lesson before. This is a good time to learn what she doesn't like or what's not her favorite food. So if she says, yeah, "Oh, I'd love to have my favorite food today," you know it's not pizza. You know, so here's a good time to ask. So what is it? You know, and it might change because that's how it is. You know, with wives, you know, it changes. And,
right.
And even sometimes with husbands, it changes.
Right. And so what's really important is that you don't get uptight about not knowing these answers because life is dynamic, right? So these are questions that you can be asking each other every day. In fact, John Gottman, a leading marriage researcher, and you've all heard us speak about him, says we should be tuned into our spouse's emotional maps, our love maps.
Our love maps.
And those are the questions that you can ask. So you can say, hey, do you still not like pizza? Or did you decide that you like pizza today? You know, or do you still love Mexican food? Or would you rather rice and peas today? You know?
And plantain.
Right. or did your food change to Greek food?
Yeah.
So it's really important, guys. These are the little things that you can do to keep nurturing your relationship, even though your two has now become three.
Yes.
So the question for you is, how are you managing the little irritations? Now, don't tell me you don't have little irritations. Like, anyway, you know what they are. How to change the baby's diaper, whether or not the child should be in the stroller this way or not. Itzel and Leighton, how are you managing that? What advice do you have for new couples, for the new couples, new parents?
Go first.
So, you know, we have a 2.5-year-old during a quarantine at home, with not, you know, able to socialize a lot and take her out. So,
and sorry, you have about 30 seconds.
Yes. So I would say the best thing, take a break. Stop if you're irritated and take yourself to a room, to the bathroom, drink water, just take 5 minutes for yourself, and have your spouse come in, or your child will be okay for 5 minutes. And just take that time to just breathe and pray, relax, and then go back to it.
Awesome. Murray and Lerone, you have 20 seconds to give some advice to the new parents.
Sure. I mean, I think it goes back to the whole preferences, and we learned that in our premarital counseling, just the same as, you know, Murray has preferences and the way he approaches things, I do. For me, it's, where do I want to put my energy? Do I want to put my energy on the way that Murray is putting on the diaper or the way he's holding the baby, you know? Prioritizing where I want to put my energy, because these days it's a lot of my energy is taken up with just caring for the baby. So
nice.
Absolutely.
All right. Wait, I just want to get one quick word on Brandy and Justin. They'll have to fix it in post-production. You guys, how are you nurturing the birth that's coming up and all of what's going to come with it?
Well, I think we are trying to define some of the roles that we're going to have, especially with Brandy staying at home. Me being at work, we're going to try to find a nice balance, especially like once I get home, give Brandy the time to kind of relax, do her own thing. And so, you know, we'll have to kind of play it by ear. I don't think you're ever ready to make or for what happens, but okay. We're just going to try to adjust as much as possible.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Hey, glad to have you guys. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll do more and talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.